no. If you can't hear me, put your hand up. Thank you, David. I'd forgotten you were there. I'm sorry. Tell him I'm sorry.
No, then you can.
Right, where were we? Oh, yes. Can you put the slide up, please? Hopefully, he says. Will it go? There we go. Some of you will remember Paul. It's quite good that Dawn came up earlier on and mentioned Paul. Paul was part of the admin team here and also led worship and played keyboard. And if you wanted to know a song, you just mentioned a word or a line or a theme, and Paul would immediately reel off a list of different songs. So, Paul and Dawn have three children, two boys and a girl, and the two boys decided that they wanted to do something to remember their dad. So they did the Great North Run a couple of weeks ago, and some of you I know sponsored the two boys. I think they're... Oh, there we go. There they are, ready for action. So first of all, thank you on Dawn's behalf for those of you who supported them. I believe they raised a total of just over £1,500, so which is fantastic, and that is going to the British Heart Foundation. So thank you to those of you who supported Dawn, John, and Ian. Will this work, he says. No. So I'm going to rely on you, Jeff. Yeah, the power. If you have a Bible, if you'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, it's towards the end of the New Testament. So 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read from the Contemporary English Version, and I'm going to start at verse 1. From Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's people who are scattered like foreigners in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father decided to choose you as his people, and his Holy Spirit has made you holy. You have obeyed Jesus Christ and are sprinkled with his blood. I pray that God will be kind to you and will keep on giving you peace. Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is so good, and by raising Jesus from death, he has given us new life and a hope that lives on. God has something stored up for you in heaven, where it will never decay or be ruined or disappear. You have faith in God, whose power will protect you until the last day. Then he will save you, just as he has always planned to do. On that day you will be glad, even if you have to go through many hard trials for a while. Your faith will be like gold that has been tested in a fire. And these trials will prove that your faith is worth much more than gold that can be destroyed. They will show that you will be given praise and honor and glory when Jesus Christ returns. You have never seen Jesus, and you don't see him now. But still you love him and have faith in him, and no words can tell how glad and happy you are to be saved. That's why you have faith. Some prophets told how kind God would be to you, and they searched hard to find out more about the way you would be saved. The Spirit of Christ was in them and was telling them how Christ would suffer and would then be given great honor. So they searched to find out exactly who Christ would be and when this would happen. They were told that they were serving you and not themselves. They preached to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, who was sent from heaven. And their message was only for you, even though angels would like to know more about it. Amen. If we can put the first slide up, please, Jeff, that'd be great. Thank you. Anybody ever taken a selfie? Anybody know what a selfie is? Yeah? The clue's in the name. Yeah, that's not a selfie. That's dabbing. But that's another story. Okay, so a selfie is where you get your phone, if you've got a camera on your phone, or if just an ordinary camera, and instead of taking a view of scenery, which, by the way, is a bone of contention in our house, I don't see the point of taking pictures of people, because they get in the way of the beautiful scenery that you actually want to take the photograph of. But there you go. That's another matter. So anyway, selfies. So selfies are where you see this beautiful scenery and you want to prove to everybody in the whole wild world that you have been there. So you kind of hold your camera like that and take a picture of yourself. Thanks. Facebook later on. Okay, so that's kind of a selfie. And then you look at it and you think, really? Do I look like that? I like to keep my hair fairly short, and yes, it needs cutting. But what was that, Fionn? It was you, Ben. All right, okay. So I don't know if you've noticed, but the hairdresser just, in fact, it might be all hairdressers. I don't know. Perhaps it's obligatory. They get this cape thing that they put around you. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's usually black. Yeah. This hairdresser's cutting my hair quite merrily, and I'm noticing this hair. There's not much of it, I admit, but there is some hair falling on this black cloth. And after a little while, I turned and I said to it, "Can you tell me whose all that grey hair is?"
And she said,
"It's yours." When I look in the mirror, I kind of have this image of what I should look like, and the person that's there doesn't always look like I think I should look. And maybe it's the same with you. We're going to look a little bit at how God sees us. Or even how God sees how embarrassed Bridget is that her phone's just gone off. So, it's an interesting morning this morning, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Okay, here's the thing. Bear with me. I'm going to have a little conversation with those of you who are married or perhaps thinking about getting married, with a word of warning. It's not quite that bad. If you get married because you see the potential in another person, and you think, "I think that I could help that person to be better," that is a bad idea. Okay? If you're not married yet, please, please do not do that. Okay? Marry the person because you love them. Because you accept them even though they've got faults. We've been married for nearly 29 years. The 23rd of January, 1988. And actually, I didn't know what Mandy was going to be like 29 years ago when I married her. I didn't know that she was going to be wonderful and kind and generous.
Uh,
And she didn't know that I was going to mature into this handsome person that had got wonderful hair. What we cared about was that we loved each other. And it didn't really matter when we got married what we looked like. So I thought. Apparently, after a few weeks, I realized that I was changing in appearance. Because the wonderful pink shirts and fluorescent orange shirts and fluorescent purple shirts that were fashionable in the 1970s when I'd originally got them suddenly started disappearing. And things changed. Because what we see in ourselves is not always an accurate image of what we should be like. When I look in the mirror and see my lovely locks, or if I look in the mirror and see the pair of trousers and the shirt that I'm wearing, and I think, hey, good match. And Mandy says, you're not going out wearing those, are you? I realise that what I see is not quite right. That actually that there's kind of something wrong. Sometimes what we see in other people is not right. And that's why I'm saying to you, if that's the reason that you came together, because you think, I can help this person, don't do it. Marry because you love them. And no other reason. Because that's what God has done for us. God accepts us just as we are. That doesn't mean that in marriage we are not going to change. It doesn't mean that God wants us to stay today the same person as we were yesterday. But God accepts us just as we are now. Warts and all. When we come... So Pete said before about becoming, when we become a Christian, we're on fire for God and we know God. God doesn't say you can't be a Christian until you wear the right clothes. You can't be a Christian until you stop swearing. You can't be a Christian until you clean up your life. No, what the Bible says, I believe, is we just need to have faith. Those who trust in God will be renewed. If we put our faith in him, he is just and will forgive us our sins. It's not conditional. It's not, oh, well, you've got to make sure that you've got this in place. No, no, no. It's us coming to God and saying, just as I am, without one plea. Just as I am. That's how he accepts us. He looks down from heaven at you, and what does he see? He doesn't see what you see. He doesn't see us as we see other people. And I believe this is a problem, that our ego, our self-image, stops us from having a proper relationship with God. The problem is that until we know in our hearts that God really, really, really loves us, we're going to find it difficult to believe the promises that he has given to us. Psalm 147 says that the Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Let me tell you, the Lord delights in you this morning if you have put your hope in him. If you fear him in a positive way. It's true that there's lots of things in this earth that will affect us, that will change our view of God. Maybe it's been in our upbringing. Maybe it's been things that have happened to us in the past. And I'm not saying that it's God's will for those bad things or those good things that have formed you to happen. Okay, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven, help us to honour your name. Come and set up your kingdom so that everyone on earth will obey you as you are obeyed in heaven. Okay? Or your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Do bad things happen in heaven? No. And we pray that prayer, Lord, make the things that happen in heaven happen on earth. So when bad things happen on earth, is it God's will? No. Does it mean that when we pray, bad things won't happen? No. Okay? We've prayed for Pete, and praise the Lord. Things have happened, and that's good. J. John said, when I pray, things happen. When I don't pray, they don't. Yeah? When I pray, things happen. When I don't pray, they don't. And sometimes we don't get the answer that we want. I'm not saying that there is a quick fix, that we just have to pray and God will answer. I'm not saying that because there's no sickness in heaven that we should not be expecting sickness as Christians. I'm not saying that because there's no poverty in heaven that we will not have poverty on earth. Because actually, even though it's not God's will, that doesn't mean it won't happen, because we are influenced by other people around us. But let's get back to this idea of who we are. I believe that God wants to set us free to be the sons and daughters that He has called us to be. Ephesians 3 says this, I pray that you and all God's people will understand what is called wide or long or high or deep. I want you to know all about Christ's love, although it's too wonderful to be measured. Then your lives will be filled with all that God is. So how do you see yourself? Just pause a moment and think about that question. What thoughts do you have about yourself today? Many of us find our self-worth on how other people see us. Remember this thing about marriage? We understand that it's important how other people see us. And it bothers us if we don't match up to what their expectations of us are. So if we accomplish something, we think that will make us a better person. We might feel shame because of something in our past. We might define our self-worth, our ego, on how we look. Or we might set unrealistic standards on ourselves. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be based on your past. God does not see you in the same way that you see yourself. 1 Peter 1 tells us about how we can prepare our minds for action. Adjusting our thinking to Scripture is the foundation, the beginning of being holy. 1 Peter 1:15. John 10:10. I've come that you might have life, life in all its fullness. So what's stopping us? There's lots of things that stop us. We haven't got time to go through them all. You'll be pleased to know. But I'm going to pick out three things. If we can, oh, there we go. That's the first one. I must be loved or approved by virtually every other person in my life. When we leave home, okay, those of you who haven't, this may not have happened to you yet, but it does happen. Simon and Joshua, my two sons, They used to hate it when Mandy and I would correct them, shall we say, when we would give them some positive input as we saw it. And they would probably react something like, I'm never going to do things like that. And then as they've become older, they've realized that actually some of the things that we said, they are saying. And it's almost like, when did I become my dad? What's happening to me? Why am I saying these things? Sometimes what happens is that we have this kind of internalized parent that's kind of sitting up in our head. And when we do something, when we act in a certain way, we get this comment that we remember from the past. Well, that's a stupid thing to do. I told you that would happen. What do you think you're doing? And sadly, most of the time, what we do is we focus on the negative things that our parents have kind of put on us. And that becomes part of our self-worth. I must be loved and approved by virtually every other person in my life. That's a lie. It's nice when people like us, but that's not how God sees us. If we go down that road, which often people do, I'm going to tell this story. Please don't be offended. If you are, don't bother coming to talk to me afterwards because I've already said it. Okay? There is a craze called sexting. Yeah? Which means basically that you send a text message, but it has a sexual content. Okay, and the next step beyond that, more recently, particularly amongst young people, is that they are sending images of themselves, naked images of themselves. Why? Because they've been sold this lie that it's important what other people think of you. And they're put under pressure by other people to send photographs of themselves to prove that they're attractive or to prove that they fit in. Glenn was talking on Friday evening to the youth about trends. And the reason that we have trends is because we want to fit in. We want to be like everybody else. Even as adults, we buy into this myth, thinking that our appearance will make others think that we are better than we actually are, or that they will accept us, or that our approval will come from what we look like or how we act. Even in church, we have this kind of subtle idea that we use on people, that they need to dress in a certain way, that we put people under pressure to act in a certain way, to not shout out, to not do certain things. Even to the point where we kind of go down this gender argument where the women should be quiet and gentle, they should raise well-behaved children, they should perhaps do some sort of crafts, thank you, Beryl, and that men should be spiritual leaders. I've heard people say, oh, the man should be the spiritual leader of the house. Praise God if that happens. But that's not necessarily a biblical approach. Men should be competent in DIY. They should provide for and protect their families. If they're truly men, they should be manly. But also have a sensitive side as well. And Sheena, I will be praying for you as Pete clearly thinks he's going to lose the sensitive side of himself that we all know and love. Our identity is not found in what other people think of us, or it shouldn't be. If it is, maybe you need to change. Romans 8 says this, His Spirit lets us know that together with Christ We will be given what God has promised. We will also share in the glory of Christ because we have suffered with him. His Spirit lets us know. It's not about other people. It's about what God thinks. It's about what God instills in you. If you are a child of God, you are a joint heir. I have two joint heirs, Simon and Joshua. If they phone up and I look at my phone to see who's phoning me, I will answer. I'm interested in what's going on with their lives. It makes me happy when they phone. How much more is God interested in us as his children and wants to commune with us, wants to talk to us, wants us to talk to him? First Peter 1:3-4 says this: Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is so good, and by raising Jesus from death, he has also given us new life and a hope that lives on. God has something stored up for you in heaven where it will never decay or be ruined or disappear. Praise God. So the next thing, my past history. Here we go, picture. So I'll read it and then if you can put it onto the next one, Jeff. My past history is all important in determining of my present behaviour. Because something once strongly affected my life, it should definitely continue to do so. You may feel controlled by something that has happened to you in the past. Maybe it's a secret. Maybe it's gossip that you're embarrassed about. Maybe it's lust that you're embarrassed about. Maybe it's obesity or some other eating disorder that you are ashamed of. Perhaps it's being critical of other people. Or maybe it's stealing, pornography, drug taking. All of those things can make you live a life where you are ashamed, where you live in fear of other people finding out. Let me tell you again, God loves you just the way you are. That doesn't mean that he wants you to stay in that place. It means that he loves you right now in your present condition. And yes, he wants you to change and can change. We can deal with our past sin, our family histories, as well as past violations to our bodies and minds. Sometimes it's as simple as a short prayer where we forgive the person who has damaged us or done things to us. Other times it might be that we need to work through those things and we need to ask somebody else to help us to pray, to forgive, to work through. We might need to get somebody to just sit with us and listen to us as we work through those things. But ultimately, the important thing is that we become the person that God wants us to be. Let's jump ahead. Well, let me just read you from 1 Peter 1:6-7. On that day, you would be glad, even if you have to go through many hard trials for a while. Your faith will be like gold that has been tested in a fire. And these trials will prove that your faith is worth much more than gold that can be destroyed. They will show that you will be given praise and honor and glory when Jesus Christ returns. Should the Christian life be dead easy? I'd like to say yes. I'd like to say that if you pray that things will just be smoothed out and it'll all be nice and wonderful and praise God. But sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes we get difficult situations or difficult things that we need to face. Maybe if we see that we can use those to build our faith, to change our attitude, to help us to be different, then we can allow God to work in our lives. So the last thing, I should be thoroughly competent, adequate, and achieving in all possible respects in order to consider myself worthwhile. I need to be perfect. People say to me as a minister, "Oh wow, you're a really holy man." Rubbish. I have the same thoughts, the same feelings as lots of other people. I make mistakes. Ask Mandy later on and she'll tell you. Yet we don't have to be perfect. God does not say that we have to be perfect before we can be a Christian, before we are acceptable to him. Think about the man on the cross with Jesus. Did he have time to clean up his life? Did he have time to go and sort out all the people that he had affected, all the people that he'd stolen from before he died? No. He simply said, "Lord, remember me." God accepted him just as he was, because he didn't have time to go through an 8-week discipleship course, or to do the Alpha course, or to get baptized, or to be ready as a Christian. We do not have to be perfect for God to accept us. So why, as Christians, do we expect other Christians to be perfect when we come to church? If somebody has offended you, if somebody's upset you, it's probably because they're just human and they make mistakes. And that's where grace comes in. God's grace is a gift. It is through God's grace that we are free, that we can be free into a new life. God's grace is a gift to us that we can pass on to other people, that we can forgive other people who've perhaps said things or done things that we have been hurt by, that by grace we can understand that God loves us, and by grace we can love other people. Once we extend grace to ourselves, because we need to be nice to ourselves in all of this. Yeah? We do not have to be super Christian. God loves you just as you are now. Yes, he might want you to change. But we need to take our lives back from trying to live up to those standards that maybe we've put on ourselves or that we feel that the church has put on us. We need to give up on these distorted beliefs that hold us back from thinking the way God views us is that we're rubbish. Instead, we need to be focused, yes, on ourselves, and that we might need to change to become more like him, but also to extend a helping hand to those around us, that we build each other up, that we support each other, that we do things that other people will be loved by, that will be supported by, that they won't feel put down or criticized, that they will feel God's love, God's grace coming from us. So for ourselves, what do we need to do? We need to eradicate the roadblock of seeing ourselves differently from how God sees us. We need to think of new ways to look at the situation and change our thought pattern so that it will become more helpful to us. Some verses for you. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. "I am your creator, and before you were born, I chose you to speak for me to the nations." God has a plan for you in your life. Matthew 10:28. "Don't be afraid of people. They can kill you, but they cannot harm your soul. Instead, you should fear God, who can destroy both your body and your soul in hell. Aren't two sparrows sold for one penny? But your Father knows when any one of them falls to the ground. Even the hairs on your head are counted. So don't be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. And finally, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. God cares for you, so turn all your worries over to him. And if you only remember one thing from this morning, please remember that. 1 Peter 5, 7. God cares for you. Turn your worries over to him. If you're struggling, if you live in fear of what other people think, if you have a distorted view of what God thinks of you, 1 Peter 5, 7. God cares for you. God accepts you just as you are right now. Come to him, the loving father, the nursing mother, the shepherd, the friend, the healer. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you love us. Lord, you don't see us as a project that you can make something out of. You love us just as we are now. You love us enough just right now. And yet, Lord, we don't know how to receive that sometimes. So I pray this morning you'd help us to see you as you see us, that we are your children, that we are loved by you, that we are heirs of God, that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that all that you have is ours, not because of anything that we've done, but because we are your children. Help us, Lord, to live in your truth, in your love, and in your light. Help us, Lord, to have grace that we can be accepting of ourselves, even though we are not perfect. And Lord, that we can accept each other, even though each other is not perfect. Lord, give us grace to forgive those that have hurt us. Give us grace, Lord, to forgive ourselves, that we might follow you, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.